You want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids? Visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Ad Council.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before December 31st and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is December 31st. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number, 877-26-BIBLE. That's 877-26-BIBLE, 877-26-BIBLE.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News, Mangione in court. I'm Michelle Franzen. Luigi Mangione returned to New York in an orange jumpsuit, handcuffed and ankles shackled, transported by plane and helicopter after waiving extradition at a Pennsylvania hearing today. Now Mangione is in federal court facing charges of stalking and firearm counts that could qualify for the death penalty. ABC's Aaron Katursky is outside federal court in Lower Manhattan.
Some of his writings that police said they found on him describe, according to sources, a fixation almost that he developed over a period of months on United Healthcare in particular, and an increasing malice such that he began to see himself as having to confront corporate greed head on. But that still doesn't fully explain what turns a 26-year-old young man of privilege, an Ivy League graduate, a valedictorian of his elite prep school in Baltimore, into an alleged killer.
This is ABC News. Vladimir Putin at his annual end-of-the-year news conference fielded a number of questions, including the war in Ukraine. The Russian president denying the Kremlin is in, quote, weaker position when it comes to dealing with the West. Here's ABC's Ian Pannell.
He claims that Russian troops are advancing along all front lines and that the primary goals of what he still calls a special military operation, not a war, are close to being achieved. He says he's ready to talk and compromise, but obviously on his own terms.
The Christmas rush already starting at America's airports today as families begin their holiday getaways.
Today for the FAA in terms of total flights is the single busiest day of the holiday stretch. 50,466 flights on the docket just today. Now from now through January 2nd, the TSA says they're anticipating they're going to screen 40 million passengers. And for the TSA, tomorrow will be their single busiest day. They think it's going to be up there with some of the busiest days in the history of the TSA.
ABC's Trevor Ault. I'm Michelle Frank. And ABC News.
Presenting Again Fling's love story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Again Fling's. Try Game Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Allen. The two victims killed in Monday's shooting at Abundant Life Christian School have been identified. The Dane County Medical Examiner's Office said Wednesday 42-year-old Aaron West of DeForest and 14-year-old Ruby Vergara of Madison both died at the scene. The suspected shooter, 15-year-old Natalie Rupnow of Madison, died at a hospital from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. West was a teacher at the school. Vergara was a freshman student who attended the school since kindergarten. Six others were injured in the shooting, with two students still in critical condition. Students returned to Abundant Life Wednesday after the deadly shooting there. The students retrieved belongings they left behind after they evacuated the school following the gunfire. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call said Madison Police is continuing to lead the investigation into the shooting.
You want to investigate the facts fully and figure out precisely what happened.
Police say they're talking with students and examining Rupnow's online activity, computers, and documents she may have written prior to the shooting. A farm worker in Barron County is confirmed to be the first human case of H1N1 bird flu in Wisconsin. State Public Health Veterinarian Angie Maxted says it's not fully understood why we're seeing more human cases across the country.
We traditionally have always offered testing to people who've been in contact with ill poultry in previous outbreaks and offered testing when they have become ill. This is our first case.
The Department of Health Services says the person infected is expected to make a full recovery. A commercial poultry flock in Barron County tested positive for H1N1 last week. A separate backyard poultry flock in Kenosha County has also tested positive. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
It was time to make our own Christmas traditions. For years, we've been trekking to both sets of in-laws, both Christmas dinners. It was just too much. So this year, we started to look for a place to get together in Alexandria, Minnesota. Christmas lights that will light up our kids' faces. A new adventure. Create some wonder. It makes us wonder, why didn't we do this sooner?
Start planning your time together in the Lakes area. Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A winter storm warning is in effect, with snow ongoing throughout the entire day, into the evening, and even overnight. Coming down heavy at times, reducing visibility to under a mile, and creating slick and slippery roads. With breezy winds gusting around 20 miles per hour, it's blowing and drifting the snow as well. Alexandria, Minnesota. Great for winter getaways. ExploreAlex.com. Currently, it's 21.
An upside recovery from yesterday's price slide helped the soy complex work to the upside. But even bean oil closed higher for the first time this week. Demand helped to lift corn prices even while wheat futures drifted to another new contract low. Cattle complex getting mixed signals triggered long liquidation. Hogs were mixed.
Live from the All Hog Holiday Mixer via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Chad Hart from Iowa State University Extension. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, this is the host of AgriTalk, Chap Flory.
All right, buddy. Hey, how's it going today? Everything okay? It's snowing here.
It's snowing?
Well, yes.
That sounds lovely.
Oh, not really.
No. Huh? Like one of them movies you're always talking about on the Hallmark Channel that you like watching.
Yeah. That's right. Sit around, listen to Hanson, watch Hallmark movies. I do that all the time.
Yeah, that sounds great.
No, it's snowing outside. Like right now.
Like a lot. You reckon it's gonna stick or?
Oh, it's white.
Okay. All right. Well, that checks out.
It's not only going to stick; it has stuck.
Oh, it is sticking.
Yes.
Ooh, that's a different matter. That's a different matter.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. How you doing? Everything good?
I think I'm good. We taped an episode of Grow Getters that will get this. It won't air till 2025 though. So I hope it's still pertinent. You know?
Isn't that weird?
I mean, we're almost there, man.
Yesterday when we did the 8-14 day and it took us out to January 1st, 2025, I was like, what?
That's a whole year away, man.
It is. It is. No doubt about it. We've got Chad Hart on the show today, Iowa State University Extension Grain Marketing Specialist. Looking forward to the conversation with a fellow Cyclone. And we've got to dig into what might be the expectations. Yeah. We do that on a regular basis, but come on. This corn market, if it's going to perform, doesn't it have to get going? That's one of the things we're going to talk about. And, of course, we've got Oliver coming up here in just a little bit. All right. Let's go ahead and get to the markets. What do you got?
Sure thing. Well, Chip, wheat futures ended the day under pressure. March soft-red winter wheat futures opened just slightly above 540 and then crashed through that support to post a low-range close. March SRW posted a new contract low in today's trade. Export sales of wheat in the weekend of December 12 totaled nearly 458,000 metric tons, in line with trade expectations, with the Philippines, Venezuela, and Japan at the top of the buyer's list. Strength in the U.S. dollar also added pressure to wheat futures. March HRW wheat futures 5.5 cents lower at 543.25. March soft red wheat down 8.25 to 533. At last report, unsettled, but March spring wheat at 587 down a nickel at last report, Chip.
Yeah, U.S. dollar index today traded all the way up to 108.49. So another new high for the year in the U.S. dollar index.
Corn export sales weekend of December 12 totaled 12 million metric tons. Is that right, Chip? I think I might have put in a typo here. Is that 1.2?
I think it's like 1.2. Yeah.
1.2. Sorry about that, everyone. 1.2 million metric tons in line with trade expectations. Mexico, Japan, unknown. Colombia, Taiwan, and Spain all on that list of buyers. And according to trade sources, South Korea also purchased nearly 87,000 metric tons of U.S. corn overnight. March corn opened slightly lower and spiked support at yesterday's low before recovering to close near session highs. March corn futures were 3.5 cents higher at 440.75. May corn up 2.5 cents to 446.25. July corn futures closed at 449.25, up 2 cents on the day, Chip.
You know, and I hate to say this, but the idea of E15 availability year-round nationwide, if that was going to be a supportive factor, you know, we lost that out of the continuing resolution today, and corn closed higher.
Yeah,
that's not a real positive sign there.
Well, Chip, export sales of soybeans totaled just over 1.4 million metric tons. That was also in line with trade expectations. China accounted for sales of nearly 650,000 metric tons in the week, with unknown destinations second on the list at nearly 375,000 metric tons. USDA this morning also reported the sale of 227,000 metric tons of U.S. beans to unknown destinations, with 152,000 for delivery this year and the balance in the next marketing year. January bean futures opened slightly lower and at yesterday's low. Spiked support at 950 and then recovered to post a close near session highs. January beans 11.25 cents higher at 963. March beans up 13.25 to 966.5. July beans closed at 985, up 13.5 cents today.
January bean meal today was up $4.60 a ton, 284.10, and January bean oil up 46 points at 40.01.
Mm-hmm. And this brings us up, retraces us about half of what we lost yesterday in the soybean market generally.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Cotton export sales weekend of December 12 totaled nearly 195,000 metric tons, down 19% from the 4-week average. March cotton today, 17 points lower, 67.91. On your livestocks, beef export sales totaled 7,200 metric tons, just 5% below the 4-week average. Heavyweight choice graded boxed beef prices exploded this morning, up $6.80 to $321.64. Select boxes were down $1.84. Technical selling drove prices downward. February live cattle $1.77.5 lower, $186.55. Jan feeders off $2.52.5 to $254.47.5. And pork export sales of 11,200 metric tons were about half the 4-week average. Feb lean hogs down 7.5 today, 83.62.5, Chip.
All right, thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Hey, Oliver, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good, Chip. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Man, oh, man, that box beef market. That we had trade like that this morning, and it couldn't help out the live cattle. What's going on?
Oh, man, yeah, the cattle markets just can't kick the volatility that we've seen in the outside markets here over the last 24 hours. And, I mean, quite frankly, you know, if you're a cattle bull, you should probably be counting your blessings that the cattle market was closed yesterday afternoon, because if it was open when the stock market fell 4%, that could have been a lot uglier of a session. Outside market stabilized overnight. that helped kind of calm the nerves today, even though it was a down day. I don't think it's as bad as it would have been if the markets were open. But it'll be interesting to see how the next week goes. If this kind of risk-off attitude and sentiment continues in the outside markets, I wouldn't be surprised to see that continue to spill over into long liquidation in livestock. We talked about the big longs in the cattle complex as a whole over the last couple of weeks, and I think that's kind of just starting to unwind, and it's important to note that it's the end of the year too. So these funds have had a comfy long position, have made good money on it. Why screw up a good year or a good position here with just a week and a half left?
Okay. All right. Bean volatility is also something, isn't it?
Yeah, bean volatility, we just had a big technical breakdown. Volatility spiked up a little bit. You know, nice 50% retracement in today's trade, I guess, is a silver lining. But really need to get out above yesterday's breakdown point, 972 to 980. If we can get out above there, maybe we start to neutralize some of the technical damage that was done here this week. But again, it'll be interesting to see, especially with the holiday trade, kind of how these markets start to trade.
Right. Exactly. All right. Merry Christmas, Oliver.
Same to you, Chip. Merry Christmas, everyone.
All right. Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Coming up next, we're going to get into a conversation with Chad Hart, Iowa State University Extension Grain Marketing Specialist. What do we do with the 24 crop, and what is it telling us about what might happen in 2025? We'll check with Chad next.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
And the Ad Council.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revilock fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15th, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Ad Council.
Mom's early Alzheimer's.
Amplify Health by Gunderson Mondovi Clinic is pleased to welcome our newest family medicine provider, Taylor Anderson, physician assistant, and her family medicine team.
Hi, I'm Taylor Anderson, a certified physician assistant, and I'm thrilled to join Amplify Health by Gunderson and serve the community of Mondovi. I look forward to providing primary health care for patients of all ages.
The Mondovi Clinic is part of Gunderson Tri-County Hospital and Clinics and is your trusted partner in health care when you need it. Call us at 715-926-1113 to schedule an appointment with Taylor Anderson.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first.
farmland rates as low as 5.76%. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. I just love that. Can't help it. Can't help it. Let's bring in Chad Hart, Iowa State University Crops Marketing Specialist. Chad, how you doing, buddy? It's been a crazy train being a Cyclone fan this year.
It definitely has been. But, you know, things are, well, let's put it this way. Look it up again. You know, you look at the basketball team, we're doing great. I'm enjoying some Pop-Tarts before we get to the bowl season. So, yeah, it's good.
Got to support that sponsor, man.
That's right.
That's right. Pop-Tarts have become my favorite breakfast cereal. Oh, I love it. I love it. How are you? Everything okay?
Yeah, everything's good. I don't have the snow you have, so I'm feeling a little better about myself now.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. You're welcome. We'll keep it up here. It's the winter wonderland. So what a crazy week, Chad. You know, trying to keep up with everything that's going on the CR and whether or not there's going to be a disaster payment out there. Well, I shouldn't say disaster payment, an economic aid package for farmers. What's your general thoughts on that?
Well, that's the, and I'll say this, it's both an economic package and a disaster package. They're both in there, or were in there. But yeah, as we're looking here, we're looking for that extension of the farm bill. There's been a lot of chatter, especially from, you know, Congress about the need for economic aid to farmers, given the drops we've seen in farm income. And definitely, the hurricane damage that hit through the Southeast needs a response as well. And so we're trying to do all this in the last days before the holiday season. And at the same time, too, there's a lot of folks that want to get a lot of different things out of this year-end package.
Yeah. You know, the crazy thing is, the reason that they're looking at an economic aid package here is because they didn't get their jobs done, Chad. They didn't get the farm bill done. They didn't get the supplemental or the spending bills done, the individual spending bills, the appropriations. Jeez, couldn't think of the word there for a second. They didn't get their jobs done, so they had to create some cover for that. And I think that's what the economic aid is, isn't it?
Well, it's a fig leaf going over the top of it. You can think of Congress hadn't been able to do its job for quite some time. Yeah. We've been living from CR to CR for quite some time now. We've been living under the 2018 Farm Bill now for an extra, year, and probably going to be another one as we're looking forward here. So Congress has had a devil of a time doing anything, and we've been lucky in that, the first couple of years of them not getting anything done, we had really strong markets. Now that things have tailed off here and we're looking for that support, Congress just can't get their act together to put that support together.
Yeah, man. Well, they're going to have to figure something out and start to work together somehow, some way. And I don't expect you to respond to this, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. We've got to have some on the conservative side wake up in the morning and decide that they're going to do something other than vote no. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. And like I say, this is the struggle of trying to get it through at this point in time, because you just don't have enough time to truly negotiate to get a full consensus that can bring together a majority to get through this. And I think that's the challenge here.
Yep.
I'm not necessarily blaming either side here. It's more of, okay, these were talks that needed to start happening a few months ago, not a couple of days ago.
Yeah. And you know what? It's we've talked about it enough. Let's move on to something that we can do a little bit more about. And you know what? I do want to go back and talk about something that was in that CR for a bit, Chad, and that was the nationwide year-round availability of E15. I don't know if it's going to make it into the final CR or not. How important is it?
Well, it would be very important at this time, because when you think about what USDA updated within the last WASD report, they basically said there were two areas for growth as we're looking at corn usage. It was ethanol and it was exports. Yeah. But the ethanol category is now at a record high. In order for it to move any higher, we would need something to shift on the demand side, and that's what nationwide E15 would and could do. The biggest challenge there would be, once you allow it, just the problem would be how many pumps are out there ready to add E15 capacity across the country.
Yeah, the important thing there is that anything new that's being built or remodeled, if it would give them the certainty of going ahead and including the E15 pumps. That's the bottom line. We're losing out on future demand, maybe not immediate demand, but future demand on the ethanol side. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well. The idea is, you know, it's one of these deals of you want to capture those new convenience stores and gas pumps that are going in. The older ones are harder to get flipped over, but if you're in the new ones, and let's face it, we have seen that industry revamping and renewing stores pretty strongly over the last few years, and that's been opening up more opportunities for E15 pumps.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. What else do you make of corn demand? The export side of things really looking pretty good, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, when you think about, you know, today's report came out, it was in line, but it was really good. And I was really hoping when David said 12 million metric tons, I was like, boy, I wish. But, you know, as you're looking at, you know, sales year over year, they're up nearly 30%. We're growing in all of our major markets right now. We've seen a good boost in especially sales down in South America. Europe has been a hot spot for us where they weren't really purchasing from us last year. And so, yeah, the export column's been moving in the right direction. And in fact, as USDA, when they updated, you know, what they basically said was this year, 2024, could be the second best year we've ever seen export-wise when you're looking at number of bushels leaving the country to go to international markets.
Yeah. It's impressive. Okay, that's the export, that's the corn for ethanol side of the demand side of the balance sheet. What about the corn for feed and residual? What are you seeing there? Any trends?
Well, that's the deal. As USDA looked at it, they didn't make any changes there. But what we have seen is, you know, we held pretty steady 2023 into 2024. But as USDA made their early outlooks for 2025, they do see a little growth there. I can see that as well, but to me, it really hinges upon when does the cattle herd look to bottom out and start to rebuild a little bit here. I think most projections put that out in like 2026.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So when you look at this at the WASD report and go straight to the bottom line, right? The carryover number, the 1.738 billion bushels of corn expected to be left over at the end of the marketing year is actually below the 1.76 that we had at the end of the 23-24. That trend's going in the right direction. Does it help our price?
It's so far the answer's been no, but I would agree with you. I mean, it's a great story to tell. But you think about what we've been through. When you looked at all the projections up to this point, we were always building those stocks up. Now we're starting to shrink them. But I think the concern is here is that this surge that we've seen in usage could be nipped in the bud as we look into next year, especially depending upon how tariffs are placed upon the globe as we look out there. And I think that's that's probably the biggest hurdle to me as we look forward into 2025.
Right. Okay.
The building we've got right now is based on international trade, yet that's probably the spot that's weakest in terms of the policy front as we look forward.
Okay. All right. So what is your thought on the price potential of old crop corn in particular right now? We've crossed some resistance and trying to build some momentum in here, aren't we?
Oh, we have. I mean, if you think about where we bottomed out, you know, I've been looking back and, you know, it was basically just before harvest is when we hit that bottom, and we've added 40 to 50 cents since that time. And I would argue a lot of that has come because we've seen this export demand growth out there and that ethanol usage continues to go at basically a record clip. That is something hopefully we could continue to build on in the next year, and it could lead to sort of what we saw early this year. When you think about what we had in 2024, we did have some profitable prices on the board. especially when you think back to April, May, early June. Yeah. That would be to hope to get back there again, but a lot of that hinges upon continuing to see our exports move as they've been projected to at this point.
Yep, yep. At least we've got the stocks to use, the carryover projections down to a level now that if there is a bit of a weather scare in the start of the 2025 growing season, that we should, the market should respond to that. We just need to take advantage of it and do some grain marketing on that. Okay, tariff uncertainty. I want to talk a little bit more about trade issues there. 25 corn acres, and then we're going to run through the same process on beans with Chad Hart.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
And the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. Where March HRW wheat futures were 5.5 cents lower at 5.43 1/4. March SRW down 8 1/4 cents to 5.33. March corn futures 3.5 cents higher at 4.40 3/4. July corn futures closed at 4.49 1/4. That's up 2 cents on the day. January soybeans were 11 1/4 cents higher today at 9.63. March beans up 13 1/4 to 9.66 1/2. March cotton today, 17 points lower at 67.91. On your livestocks, February fat cattle $1.77 1/2 lower at 186.55. January feeder futures off 252.5 to 254.47 1/2. And February lean hog futures down just 7.5 cents today, 83.62 1/2. Try profarmer.com.
Want to get smarter?
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owner's agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay & Associates.
Daily money management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at numbersrus.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A winter storm warning is in effect, with snow ongoing throughout the entire day, into the evening, and even overnight. Coming down heavy at times, reducing visibility to under a mile, and creating slick and slippery roads. With breezy winds gusting around 20 miles per hour, it's blowing and drifting the snow as well. Alexandria, Minnesota. Great for winter getaways. ExploreAlex.com. Currently, it's 21.
Every Tuesday.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Hey, Chip.
Hey, Davis.
When's the last time you ate a Pop-Tart?
It's remember? Been a while.
You know, yeah,
a while? You know what? No, you know what? I think the last time that I ate a Pop-Tart would have been when I was at that beautiful piece of water up in northern Ontario that you have also been to.
I know the one.
Yeah.
I know the one.
Huh. Yeah, that would have been it. Long time ago now.
Well, now, Chad Hart from Iowa State University Extension probably hangs out with a bunch of college students. I bet there's Pop-Tarts all over the place in Chad Hart's world.
Chad?
Just saying.
There are a few.
A few. Okay, we'll take a few.
If you hang around college students enough, everything's on the menu.
How about ramen noodles?
Hello. Ramen noodles are there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pizza. Lots of pizza.
Beer. You name it. It's all on the menu. Cheez-Its. We do it all.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I'll bet there's going to be a ramen noodles bowl someday.
Ooh, a ramen bowl.
Well, there is a mayo bowl.
There's a what?
A Duke's Mayo has a bowl.
Oh, that's mayo. Right.
That's the one where the coach doesn't want to win because he's got to dip in mayo.
Oh, goodness. Oh, yuck. Wow. All right. Chad Hart, Iowa State University Crops Marketing Specialist, is our guest analyst today. So you were talking about the tariff uncertainty, the trade uncertainty for 2025. I mean, is that the – wait, it can't be the biggest uncertainty for 2025. We've got to throw weather in there too, don't we?
You could throw weather in there, but right now, like I say, when I'm staring at the need to build demand up to match this production that we've had, I'm going to argue tariffs scare me more than weather right now.
Wow. Wow. You know, especially with the way that the corn crop in particular handled that ultra dry second half of the year, second half of the growing season. I don't know if corn yield is bulletproof, but it sure acts like it sometimes, doesn't it?
We've been on a heck of a run. When you look back at, you know, the past, you know, 3-4 years, we've had drought somewhere across this country, and yet each and every year a national yield averaging over 170, this year 183, and definitely as USDA looks forward, the trend line's 182. So I mean, we've been incredibly productive over the past few years despite weather problems.
Chad, is that part of the reason why everybody that we talk to seems to be leaning to a few more corn acres compared to what we had this year for 2025? Is that yield, quote unquote, certainty? Is that part of the reason?
I think it's a little bit of that. I've also used this line a bit too much, but corn's the best house in the bad neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, the idea is, yeah, we've got that production built in. Plus, when we're looking at the demand structure there, corn is less reliant on exports than some of our other crops, especially soybeans. And so that leads to a little more certainty in demand as we're looking forward in 2025.
Okay. All right. We talked a little bit about the nationwide availability of E15. What about the access, the 45Z biofuels credits? Is that the next best thing in this corn market?
Well, it would definitely help to have some guidance of where we're going there. You know, when you think about what we're sort of going on right now, here we are, you know, 2 weeks away from 2025, yet we don't know the rules for that tax credit yet. Yeah. We're basing it off of what we saw with the 40B, and that didn't give us a heck of a lot of guidance there. And so, you know, I think a lot of folks are looking at this going, okay, we've got this tax credit in place for the next 3 years, but we need to know how to use it in order to benefit from it.
Okay. So do corn acres go up for next year? What was it last year? 90.7 million planted. Do we see a few more in 25?
Yep. I would say we do, and like I say, I sort of agree with what USDA has initially laid out. They're shooting for 92, okay. And yeah, I think we'll get there.
Okay. Do they come straight off of beans, or is it more acres in general?
I think it's a lot from beans. Beans is the area that I think you're going to see the most slide in as we look at the major crops.
Okay. Yeah, this bean market. I mean, we took, in October we were at 550 million bushels on the carryover. We're down to 470. That's a really nice drop, but it's still a lot of beans, isn't it?
It's still, well, that's the deal. It's still building up because the year before we were at 342. So, you know, unlike where corn usage finally caught up to production, we haven't been able to pull that off with soybeans.
Man, why?
Arguably exports.
Yeah.
And even though exports are improving, we're just not picking up the pace quick enough to chew through all the beans that we've got here.
Yeah. South America's even looking got some... Go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's even with growth that we've seen there. We're up about 10% year over year. It's just not quick enough to catch up with our productivity. And as you were about to say, South America's productivity.
Yeah. Man, oh, man, what a anchor on this bean market right now, isn't it, the South American crops?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, that's the deal. I mean, give USDA credit here. They've had 169 million ton estimate out there for Brazil for several months now on the soybean side. Oh. And I think some traders just woke up to that. That's really possible down there. And, yes, it is. And so that's a, you know, growth of, you know, 16 million tons. That's incredible. A surge in possible production coming out of Brazil for next year.
Yeah, we continue to look to China for that demand. Is there any other market that we need to focus on more?
On soybeans? Arguably not, because when you look at where we're at right now, our sales are up in Europe. We're up in Mexico. We're up in Indonesia. One of my favorite ones to look at is Egypt. Egypt is up almost 500%. So that tells you we're well priced, but the only market where we're down is China. So where China moves has a dramatic impact on soybeans for us.
Okay. So when you look at the old crop, the 24 crop marketing, what is your price guidance tell you, and what are you thinking on strategies?
Well, you know, unlike corn, where corn, we hit that bottom, we bounced and, you know, gained that 50 cents and been able to hold on. Uh-huh. Soybeans got that bounce and then headed right back down again. And so the struggle here is just figuring out where, you know, if you're looking for what's going to pull us up, China's probably it. Other than we need a weather scare, preferably down in Brazil, but that doesn't seem to be in the cards either. Mm-hmm. So this is looking really rough right now. So I would be asking folks, okay, what's your plan B here as you're looking to hold on to these beans? Are you willing to hang on deeper into the spring to see if we get that seasonal bounce or not? Or is this the time to say, bite the bullet, grab what we can now, and look to put that money into use somewhere else?
Can bean oil catch a bid in here for some reason?
You got to be telling me that we're going to see that renewable diesel demand find another leg up, and I don't see that occurring here either necessarily, unless we were to see either Washington or Oregon put in rules closer to like California's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a tough market in there right now, but that market. The good news is, from a feed perspective, soybean meal looks like a heck of a buy.
It definitely does, and when you think about the livestock industries, great pricing there, but also incredibly high costs. So any break they can get on the feed side is definitely welcome right now.
Yeah, on the cattle side of things, it's being eaten up by feeder cattle costs and. Yeah, it's all a balancing act, no doubt about that. So 87.1 million planted beans in 2024. We're taking some off of that. How low do we get, and can it help the outlook?
You would figure if you take some off, it should, but like I say, USDA's first guess was no, we could take 2 million off, and it still wouldn't necessarily help the outlook. And it goes back to productivity. In this case, USDA's first guess was 85, so taking us down 2.1 million acres. But at trend line yield, you're looking at production still at 4.4 billion bushels. Yeah. And unless you get, again, something shifting on the demand side, you're looking at keeping ending stocks somewhere in this 430 to 470 range.
Okay. All right. When you talk with growers right now, Chad, and they're looking forward into 2025, what is your bottom line message to them?
Well, I'm spending a lot of time reminding them of the mindset that we had in 2014 and 2015, because the situation is very similar. We've seen the price slide and the income slide over the past couple of years. The outlook looking into the next year looks pretty tough. This is one of those times where, yep, we have to tighten the belt, figure out how to control our cost, yet try to maintain as big a revenue as we possibly can out there and weather the storm until our demands can build back up again to pull us higher. What is strange to say about that this time, though, is when you look at, like, corn, for example, usage is at record levels already. Beans were not there, but we're within earshot of that. So it's hard to point to where you could see that additional demand right now.
Weather the storm. I like it. Got to protect yourself in these kinds of conditions is the bottom line. Chad, let's go Cyclones, buddy. We got football. We got lots of big basketball coming our way. Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you.
All right. Chad Hart, Iowa State University Crops Marketing Specialist. I just got another text. I don't know what it is, but I'll bet we've got some breaking news next.
William is one of millions of Americans who uses GoodRx to save on the cost of their prescriptions.
My oldest daughter, Camilla, 2 days old, she had to have open heart surgery. All of a sudden, she's on 5 different medications. It adds up at the end of the month. Me and the pharmacist got so tight. She said, GoodRx, save you a lot of money. Saving that extra $200, $300 a month, we're able to do all these extra activities. So it puts less stress on our household, and it puts less stress on our pockets.
Download the free app or visit GoodRx.com and start saving today. GoodRx user compensated for their time. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance.
2 hours ago, Kyle arrived at the bar.
Hey, what's everyone drinking?
30 minutes ago, Kyle got his friends another round of drinks.
Cheers!
5 minutes ago, Kyle decided to drive home drunk. A minute ago, a law enforcement officer pulled up behind Kyle.
Sir, have you been drinking tonight?
A chain of events that began 2 hours ago is about to change Kyle's whole world. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Trusted steel power in the palm of your hand. This holiday season, save $30 on the GTA 26 handheld garden pruner. Now just $149.99. Check off a gift from the top of their wish list and make trimming tree limbs a breeze with a lightweight design and 4-inch cutting bar. Visit your local steel dealer today or shop online at steelusa.com. Was $179.99 MSRP. Includes battery and charger. Offer valid for a limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
Coming soon, it's Holiday Wars.
Honey, do your parents have to stay here?
A family at a breaking point.
There's my food! Ugh.
Battle lines were drawn.
But you love Aunt Marnie.
Suddenly, Prime Video appeared. Enter new holiday hits like Red One and Candy Cane Lane on Prime. Movies like Home Alone and Miracle on 34th Street to rent or buy. The chaos silenced.
That was fun. Can your parents leave now?
Come together at the holidays with Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership not required to rent or buy. See Amazon.com/Prime for details.
Here with us today is Dan English, General Manager, FBN Financial. Dan, as farmers consider where to get their land financing, why should they consider FBN?
Well, at FBN Finance, we're really dedicated to serving family farmers and putting farmers first. We've created an experience to provide farmers with all the essential information that they need during their land financing journey. And so on the front end, they can use our free land evaluation tool, AcreVision. They can look at land insights and metrics, soil types, using that product. Then they can use our land calculator to view their estimated rates and fees. And then when they're ready to get pre-qualified, they can use our digital application and then take advantage of our instant approvals for qualifying applications.
Okay, pre-qualification and instant approvals. Explain that some more and tell me how that benefits farmers.
Well, if you're just starting out your process and you're not sure what you can afford or not sure how a lender is going to look at it, pre-qualification gives you that confidence to go out to an auction or, you know, consider a refinance if it's worth the effort to put in the time and effort to get that. And then a pre-approval or an actual approval is great when you want to move quickly. So let's say you win that auction and you've got a limited time period to close. You don't want to spend the first couple weeks thinking around, who's going to give me a loan? We'll let you know right away. It takes less than 15 minutes to fill out the application, and we can get you approved for up to $2.5 million.
Really cool. Dan, how can someone get in contact with your team?
You can get started right now by going to fbn.com/agritalk, or you can call us directly at 833-FBN-LEND. That's L-E-N-D. And right now for AgriTalk listeners, when you fill out a form to speak with a loan advisor or call us directly and mention AgriTalk, you're eligible to save $500 on closing costs for your land loan over $250,000.
Thank you, Dan. Very cool. That is Dan English, General Manager, FBN Financial.
Are you ready to unleash superior seeding performance on your operation? Choose from two revolutionary Great Plains drills. The BD7600 Min-Till Drill, renowned for its seeding consistency, large capacity, and innovative technology, including Drill Command. And the new BD7410 Drill, whose transport width under 10 feet delivers great maneuverability through gates and down narrow roadways. Learn more at your local Great Plains dealer or greatplainsag.com. Great Plains, harvest starts here.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first. With farmland rates as low as 5.76%, visit fbn.com/agritalk. She's complicated. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here along with Chip Flory.
Yes,
great
sir.
Conversations today. We had Chad Hart from Iowa State University Extension, yep. And, of course, Oliver Slope. But you were dangling the potential for some breaking news out there. Now,
yes.
Was this a text that says you're not going to believe what they've done next, or was it to say, now don't forget to pick up the gravy? You know, was it one of those? Because we don't need to know about that one.
No. Okay, you know, it's coming from Wiesmeyer, former policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer.
Okay.
Republicans have struck a deal on a short-term government spending patch and potential debt limit increase. According to two GOP lawmakers meeting in Speaker Mike Johnson's office this afternoon. Now, one of those lawmakers was Representative Stephanie Bice from Oklahoma. She came out of the office and said there is an agreement. The plan is to put a bill on the floor that we think is a reasonable step forward. She said that further details will be coming. They have kept Donald Trump appraised. And the goal is for the House to vote Thursday, she added. That's today.
That should be today. Yeah. It's almost 4 o'clock in D.C. right now.
Right. So it'll be a late night vote. And you know what? I don't know how many pages this new bill might be. When it came out before, I think it was 1547, mm-hmm. something like that. Now, if it's a 20-page bill, then I can see, okay, you know what? Let's get rid of that 72-hour thing.
Yeah.
And doggone it, let's get it done. But if it's 1,000 pages again,
mm-hmm.
No. They've got to have time to read the thing. They got to have time to break it down. Their team has to have some time to spend with it. And I just don't know, man. So the details are coming, but it sounds like they've worked out Plan B, and they're moving forward.
Okay, seems like the kind of thing that we'd probably talk about on a Friday free for all type of setup.
I would guess, yes.
Like maybe by tomorrow morning we'll have some details and we'll know a little bit more. I can't keep it straight. And I hate to be cynical because
I'm the first one to say, we need to get something. You know, we need progress here. Anything. Do something right. For crying out loud. I wonder what the givebacks were from either side. Because there were some pretty, people had their heels dug in.
Yeah.
On some key issues on either side of the aisle.
Oh, you're darn right.
Somebody gave ground on something. And I just wonder what it cost.
Right. Right. And you're exactly right. What did they have to give up in order to get this done? And yeah. And all we can do is wait for the details at this point. All we can tell you is that they've apparently got an agreement on the Republican side, mm-hmm. on the GOP side, they've got an agreement and they're getting ready to go forward.
Talking to Oliver Slope at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
He is perhaps a little concerned about some long liquidation. Talked about these funds. They've done really well. Maybe we go ahead and take profits here, and that's the end of that. You got to know when to fold them.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the canoe tipping over. Once everybody's loaded onto one side of it, once the canoe tips over, the only thing you can do is swim to shore and save yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if that is what is happening in the cattle trade, the funds are heavily loaded up on the long side, and there's the liquidation can last a while. That's the bottom line.
Well, because here's the thing. In that situation, you want to have the foresight to jump off that canoe before she flips.
Yeah, man.
You want to be that guy, if you can. Have those guys begun to jump ship? I don't know if we know the answer to that or not, or how we would.
Oh, the early jumpers?
Yeah.
They've jumped.
They've jumped?
They've jumped.
Okay.
That's how it looks to me.
Mm-hmm.
When you start getting the kind of volatility in the markets that we've seen over the past couple of days, that kind of liquidation is happening. I mean, feeder cattle were off $2.80. April, well, geez, you get out to the back months and the May and August contracts down $3.17.50.
Yep.
That's liquidation. That's happening.
It was a classic whipsaw Thursday, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess Whipsaw Thursday.
I don't know what the saw equivalent that starts with TH is.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thrombosis yeah. Thursday.
I guess. Ouch. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Chad took us back to the 2014-2015 mindset there. He ended with just weather the storm, talking more into the grains, I believe, with this line of talk here. Take us back to 14-15. What does he mean there? What do you want us to glean from that comment? It feels important.
Well, you know, when you look at the price patterns that we have seen in the corn market in particular since 2020, mm-hmm. and go back and lay it against a corn chart starting in 2010, so 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
the charts from 10 years ago, they certainly rhyme. It's not an exact match, but they certainly rhyme. They're telling us something about that, and about upcoming price movement. And then when you look at the fundamentals and see the similarities there as well, that's when, you know, this comparison to 10 years ago, I think, is legitimate. No doubt about it. No doubt. All right, National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook, December 25th through the 29th. Above normal temperatures expected over the entire country, parts of Alaska, all of Hawaii, and above normal precipitation expected in the heart of the Corn Belt as well, the 8-14 day. This is December 27th through January 2nd. Above normal temperatures, above normal precipitation expected across the Midwest. It should be a fun one tomorrow morning. We got the free-for-all. Wiesmeyer, Haney, Michelson, me. Tomorrow afternoon, Jake Hanley from Tucria here on AgriTalk.
As you plan the future of your farm, you've probably noticed something. It takes more than money. It takes a lending partner that keeps you fully prepared to leap when land becomes available.
That's why FBN Finance created a simple, easy pre-qualification process valid for up to 180 days. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What's your perfect night? Is it curling up on the couch for a cozy, peaceful night in? Therapy can feel a bit like that. Your comfort place, where you replenish your energy. With BetterHelp, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, entirely online. It's convenient and suited to your schedule. Find comfort this season with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/jingle to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jingle, JINGLE.
From sugar cookie crumbs in the kitchen to pine needles under the tree, count on Steel for Christmas cleanup made easy with the SEA20 battery-powered handheld vacuum. Now just $99.99. Power up the holiday and give a gift from the top of their wish list. Visit your local Steel dealer today or shop online at steelusa.com. Was $159.99 MSRP. Includes battery and charger. Offer valid for a limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. Mangione in court. I'm Michelle Franzen. The man accused of gunning down the CEO of United Healthcare outside.